want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans 14, 23. This is part two of Everything Works by Faith. Everything works by faith. Look at somebody and say that. Everything works by faith. Everything. The initial onset of our relationship with God begins by faith. For by grace are you saved through the door of faith. We have to come through faith. Even though grace is the provision, faith is what accepts that provision. Now Romans says this. It says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. But because he eats not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Now last week we went through this to indicate, to clearly delineate what that means. What that means is that anything not of faith is dead. Doesn't mean that you're sinning as if it were righteousness. It has more than that as a meaning. That is included in the meaning in some ways. Certainly, faith required for us not to live in sin. But on top of that, anything that's not of faith is death. Now think about that. That's quite a statement because, I mean, it's telling us that we're to live a life of faith. For I walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by his faith. And it says this in Hebrews 11:6. It says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, that's amazing. Without faith, it is impossible. Look at somebody and say, impossible.
Impossible.
And when you think of impossible, that means there is no possibility. It is not possible. It is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Our faith is critical to our life. The most potent force we'll ever have is faith. I want to read some things to you. I'm going to read my notes from last week. I'm going to read all of them. And I may post them online for you because I want you to get this. I'm going to teach a lot about this because I've told you that I believe God told us we're about ready for an upgrade. Amen. I'm already in mine. I'm seeing upgrade in my life. Look at somebody and say, are you upgrading? I'm upgrading. Tell them you're upgrading. Just say it. I'm upgrading.
I'm upgrading. Amen. Hallelujah.
Then the Lord told me suddenly. How many of you have had a suddenly already? All of a sudden your raise came through. The house you've been waiting on, the car, whatever. You've had some suddenlies, healings and miracles. Man, the testimonies that I'm getting. I mean, people are obeying God, and in obeying God, they're receiving such tremendous miracles right now. It's just amazing. Letters coming in regularly from all over the church of people that have had raises in pay, new jobs, transitions in their life. I'm telling you, this is a suddenly season for us. And as we began the year, I gave you a proclamation to declare over your life. Hopefully some of you wrote that down or got the CD so you could take those things and put them and make them part of your life. Because I believe 2017 is a breakthrough year for everybody that hears what God has to say. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what the world does. How many know we're not citizens of this world? Once you receive Jesus Christ, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And God says you are then seated with Christ in heavenly places. So that means whatever you are as an earthly person, even more than that, you are a citizen of heaven. So that means that really you're on a mission here. As a born-again believer, you're just on a mission. You're on a commission to earth, and you're not a citizen of earth. We need to be sure we don't get caught up in all this earthly garbage. Don't let me see all this mess in your Facebook stuff. Come on, we don't walk as those who have no hope. Come on. We got a hope. We got a hope on the inside of us. We don't act like the world acts. The church should never act like the world. Come on, somebody. The world might act like the church, but the church better stop acting like the world. Come on, somebody. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. How you love one another. Don't tell me you're a disciple of Christ if you haven't got love in your heart for your brother and your sister. The bottom line is, as high as you jump, if you don't love, it don't matter how high you jump.
Good word.
Amen. Don't matter how fast or good you dance. Amen. You might be the best Holy Ghost dancer in the church. And there's some folks that really dance. I wish I could do that dance. One of these days I'm going to get one of y'all folk to teach me how to dance like that. Have y'all ever seen me try and do it? It's so white. It's just so white. It just, you know, it don't move right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I need somebody to give me dancing lessons. This is for some of the white folks who've never been in an African-American church. They have no idea what I'm talking about. They're staring at us like calf at a new gate. Oh, my God, where am I today? I'm glad you're here today because Kevin's going to look just like this. Heaven's going to look just like this. You better get ready for it. Heaven's going to have me in it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be singing on every corner, on every street. I'm going to be singing. You're going to be like, Pastor Steve, can you just be quiet? I'm going to be like, nope, I'm in heaven now. Get you some earplugs. Every one of us is going to be there. Red and yellow, black and white, we are all precious in His sight. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I say that because when you start doing this and you start having a multicultural church, it's fresh to people. They don't know what to expect. Amen? Well, here it is. Amen. We just worship God. I had people that come from both cultures, and they'll come in African-American and white, and they'll say, I didn't know black folk worship like white folk. They don't know. I mean, we ought to be, you know, it's just a shame that we haven't already merged our cultures together in Jesus. Amen. Isn't it a shame?
Amen.
I didn't get enough shouting already. I got quiet. What? I love this. I would not, maybe you would, but I would not go to a church that wasn't multicultural.
Amen.
I'll tell you why. This is my reasoning. Are you ready? Because if you're reaching your city, then your church ought to look like your city.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just saying.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
If you are truly reaching everybody and your church is Jesus who loves everyone, then it ought to look like a Walmart, a football stadium, skating rink, grocery store. And thank God for this church. I thank God. Obviously, we're preaching the right thing, doing the right thing, acting the right way, loving on each other. And don't be no hypocrite. Don't love on somebody in church, and then when you see them in Walmart, or you see them at the mall, walk the other way. If you hug them in church, you better hug them at the mall. Act like I know you at church. How you doing, brother? Good to see you, brother. Love to see you, brother. Good to see you. And see you at Walmart.
Come on.
The only place that people do that to me is when they see me at the gym, because they know I've been so ruckus there at the coaching. You know, because I'm a loud coach. I'm not a mean coach. I'm just a loud coach. And so the church people are like, I'll talk to you later, Pastor. I'll talk to you later. They'll tell me, okay, we'll be friends after the game. After the game, Pastor. Let me read my notes to you, and then we're going to get to something new. I'm going to give you a revelation that I believe will help you this morning. I told you that we want to transition from just knowing about it. We've all gone to church and heard. We've all gone to church and heard things that you know, I mean, we get a knowledge of it, of how God will do this and we'll do that, but then we don't know how to get it for ourselves. We don't know how to receive it for ourselves. So here's just reading my notes. Whatever is not of faith is death. Faith is a contrast that life is in faith. Hebrews 10:38 tells us, now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draws back from me, my soul will have no pleasure in him. So it is important for us to understand that faith is not just a biblical principle, a philosophical idea, a religious story, or a theology. Let me read that again. It's important for us to understand that faith is not just a biblical principle, a philosophy, an idea, a religious story, or a theology. Instead, faith is a spiritual means of the conference and empowerment of God. Faith is what God uses for us to confer and empower our lives. He confers on us Himself through faith. He gives us and empowers us through faith. And it's important that we understand this. So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of a thing hoped for and the evidence of things that can't be seen. So faith is the spiritual platform and connection for our empowerment. Faith is the spiritual platform and connection for our empowerment. All that Christ offers to us is delivered to us by faith. Let me say that again. All that Christ offers to us, he delivers to us by faith. He delivers to us by faith. Through faith, we have access to all that God has given. Our only access to all that God has is faith. I'm saying this because you've got to get the importance of the level of faith in your life, the importance of you having faith in your life, the importance of what faith is. So all that God has given is by faith. Nothing comes down from heaven but by faith. Nothing comes down from heaven but by faith. Every provision of God is released to us by the or on the basis of faith. Every provision of God is released to us on the basis of faith. Faith is the most powerful force in the universe. Look at somebody and say, faith is the most powerful force in the universe. Find somebody else, say it with me. Faith is the most powerful force in the universe. Jesus said this in Mark 9:23. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mark 10:26-27 says this, and he admonished them out of measure, saying unto themselves, how can we be saved? Jesus looked upon them and said, with men it's impossible, but with me, with God, all things are possible. With faith, there are no impossibilities. Let's say that together. Look at somebody. Find somebody. Look them in the face. I know you might have coffee breath this morning, but I don't care. Say, with faith, there are no impossibilities.
Amen.
The world would like to put us into a basket. The world would like to tell us that we can't change. The world would like to impose upon us ideas that we were born certain ways or not born certain ways. But the Bible clearly tells me that with faith there are zero impossibilities. It may be true with men, but with God everything can change. My argument to everyone in this room is that while you may be engulfed in something that is enormously difficult to overcome, and you might be saying, I just can't do it, or maybe you were told that you will always be that. I know that, you know, that we've heard, you know, somebody that was an alcoholic or a drug addict, that they will always be a drug addict, or they would always be an alcoholic. But according to God's word, that is not true. You may always have to deal with yourself and alcohol, but the moment Jesus touches you, you are no longer an alcoholic. You have the right to proclaim yourself alcohol-free, drug-free, addiction-free, whatever that may be, whatever issues are challenging your life, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The moment that you accept whatever you are and don't accept what God says you are, the moment the mirror you look in is the mirror of the earth instead of the mirror of heaven, is the moment you give up your right for heavenly privilege. Come on, somebody, you don't need to give up your right for heaven's privilege. Whatever God said you are, that's what you are. Whatever God's word declared over you is what God sees of you. And if you'll see it God's way, you can have what God said. Just say this, I can be whatever God said I can be. I can do whatever God said I can do. I can have whatever God said I can have. Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And in that place, in that position, nothing is impossible with God. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Faith exchanges man's impossibility with God's possibility. Faith exchanges man's possibility with God's possibility. Faith transfers eternal truth to natural manifestation. See, you have to understand God's word is eternal. It's not temporal. It doesn't exist when Jesus spoke it or the disciples wrote it or the translators translated it. His word exists eternal because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever God said is an eternal word. So whatever God has declared is not going to change because he's the God that changes not. Right? He's the same yesterday. So when God said it in eternity past, it will exist all the way through eternity future. Does anybody just, did you hear what I just said? It's not going to change. Your circumstances may not be lining up with what God eternally past said and what God eternally future sees, but it's not God that's your problem. It's something else. Can you understand that? So faith is what transfers God's eternal truth to the natural manifestation temporally. Faith transfers the divine to the natural. When we operate by faith, we are operating at the frequency of God. We move the arena of expectation from earth to heaven. My expectations are no longer what is an earthly expectation. When I am in faith, I'm not expecting the earthly outcomes. I'm expecting the divine outcome. I'm expecting a spiritual outcome. I'm expecting supernatural outcome. So God moves us from the arena of natural expectation into to a heavenly expectation. And faith bestows divinity on humanity. Now that sounds really amazing when you say that, because what that means is it translates, think about what it says in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that I can't see. And by it, Mark says this, he says it in 9:22, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. In other words, what God could do, I can do. What God's ability is, God translates that ability to me. This is so important because if you get what I'm saying today, that there are no impossibilities in your life. My father was passing away and I was dealing with this situation, and he was in the hospital for several days. He had something had happened. I got a phone call and they said, you need to get to the hospital in Columbia as soon as possible. I got up there as fast as I could to the Veterans Hospital, and he was there, and either had a heart attack or some form of a stroke. I believe it was a heart attack. And so by the time I got there, they had him on the respirators and all those kinds of things. And so for the next many days, whatever it was, I spent my days at the hospital praying over him and seeking God for him and standing with him and believing for him. As we're there, I'm dealing with it, and every once in a while it would seem like that he would move towards death. The numbers would shrink, and they would just basically say he's dying. I would go in the hallway and pray myself and pray, and it seemed like he'd come back for a while. And then he'd go back, and it was just a back and forth thing for about anywhere between 7 and 10 days. Eventually, they called me into the room, and they had him, you know, they were beating on his chest and trying to keep him alive with paddles and everything else. I just stuck my hands up in the air and waved them off and said, no, that's enough. And I'll tell you, I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I was in that room with my father. And you can say what you want to, but I tell you now, I sensed the angels of God and the presence of heaven come down in that room. And I sensed him leave his body and transition to heaven. I tell you now, I thank God my dad knew Jesus. I thank God I was in that room because the presence of God came in there like I can't even begin to describe to you. The peace of God, it was as if it was just amazing. But when it was over with, I went to see my pastor. I was wounded, obviously losing my father was a very traumatic moment in my life. And so I went to see my pastor down in Florida, and we're sitting at a table, and I said, Pastor, I said, listen, I would see him come back, and he'd go down, and he'd come back, and I have my faith. And a couple things that I learned sitting with him, he said this to me, and when he said it, it cleared up a whole lot for me. I said, Pastor, I was in faith. And he shook his head as gentle as he could. He said, no, son, you weren't in faith. How can you say I wasn't in faith? I mean, that's what was going through my mind. I didn't get mean and say that to him. And then he said this. He said, because if you were in faith, he wouldn't have died. Come on. Wow. That was an awakening for me. Wow. If you were in faith, he wouldn't have died. Because faith is an undeniable force. I also found out something else. It couldn't just be my faith. It had to be his too. It's his life. It ain't just me working my faith. When he was in and out of consciousness or whatever, he had to have faith. And I found out through my family that he had begged them not to give him any type of respiration. He wanted to do not resuscitate. He didn't want them tubes. He wanted to go to heaven. Look, you can't fight somebody's will. I don't mean to discourage. You might be in this room and try to figure out how somebody passed. And I'm not going there today, but sometimes it's their will. So I found out I wasn't in faith. Faith is undeniable force. It is a spiritual force that cannot be said no to. There are no impossibilities in the force of faith. Everything you want in your life is achievable by faith. If you don't have it, it's because you're not in faith. Now, by that, let me put it another way. You could be in disobedience, you could be in other things, but that is a negation of faith. Because if you're in faith, you don't live lifestyles that keep you from creating God's best in your life. You could be out of agreement. I had a couple come to me one time. This was early on as a pastor, and so they came up to the front, and they were new to the church. Matter of fact, it might have been their second Sunday or first Sunday, and he came up, and his wife came up, and it was one of them Holy Ghost services, and they were standing in the front, and he's holding her hand. They're both crying, weeping. And he looks over and he says, my wife wants a baby. And she said, I want a baby so bad, I want a baby. We've been believing, and I guess there were other circumstances that had gone on, maybe miscarriages and so forth, and so they're standing in front of me wanting a baby. And I got my Holy Ghost on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever put a Holy Ghost on? Don't look at me that way, man. I started praying like I knew what I was doing. In the name of Jesus, I got all Holy Ghost on him. Yeah, huh, ha, huh. I got all that in there. I mean, I was going at it. In the name of Jesus, ha, in the Father, ha, huh, yeah. I did a little jig. I prayed for my lady. Slapped him a couple times. That's the early days. I prayed my heart out. When I got done, I'm like, praise God, hallelujah, we did this, yeah! Come on. They walk away from me. About 2 minutes later, he walks up and says, man, I thank you, that was awesome. I said, thank you, thank you. He said, I don't really want a baby. She's the one who wants a baby. I'm just up here for her. I mean, no, they ain't getting no baby. They're not even in agreement. You got to get in agreement. So there's other factors. What I'm saying is that faith works that way. But when you reach that moment of real faith, and you reach a moment of agreement in faith, I mean, just think about that. Just the agreement prayer alone stands in itself to say that anything that two of you shall agree is touching anything on earth, it shall be done. I mean, how can that be denied? God doesn't lie. That has to come true. You have to find out what it is. What is it that's hindering it? What is it that's holding that up? Have you actually gone to God and gotten his will and his plan on the moment? Have you actually gone in there? But see, I'm going to teach you. You got to get this because you got to understand. This is a church that's going to teach you not just that God can do it, but that God will. For every single person in this room, God said yes and amen. not the foolish desires, but everything that's his will. If you ask anything according to my will, you can know that I heard you. And if you know that I heard you, then you can know that you have the petitions you've desired of the Lord. If you ask anything according to my will. I ain't never read Lamborghini in the Bible. I've never read $22 million mansion in the Bible. I've never read Gucci watch. I've never read any of that. But I have read the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow thereto. What I know is God does not deny the Lamborghini. Because all things are possible. But you're not going to get to a Lamborghini if you can't even pay for the tires. If you don't have enough faith. You know, when I started this church, I was at $10 faith and $5 faith and $2 faith and a hamburger faith. And through the years, I've progressed. My faith has grown. And now it's $20,000 faith and $50,000 faith. And one day it's going to be $100,000 faith and $500,000 faith. And then it's going to be $1 million faith. Then it's going to be $500 million faith. Come on, somebody. You got to start somewhere. You got to build faith. Faith grows on the inside of us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It would be wrong for any preacher, any pastor, to teach you that you could just blab anything you want and you could have it. But it would be just as wrong to tell you that you can't blab something and have it. If it's according to his will, when you step into his will, you're guaranteed that you're going to receive it. It may not be today. And through a process of time, it can occur. But you've got to get yourself in a position to receive. Now, this is a little off my notes, but we're going to get here. So you understand what I'm talking about. Faith is not something you generate. Faith is something that's already generated that you get, you catch. Some people think they work themselves into faith, that somehow they get all emotional. See, what happened with my father, I got emotional.
Come on.
I wasn't in faith. I was emotional. Yes. Then nobody shout there. Maybe I'm really helping you. Faith is something that God has already created. It already exists. It's something that cometh.
Yes.
It cometh to me. I'm going to tell you how it cometh. We know the scripture, 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. We get that. Now, let me keep going. Here's what it says in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they rejected the knowledge. I'll reject them. Now, listen. There are only two ways that a Christian, a born-again believer, a person of God can be destroyed. Two. Only two. Only two. You ready? Get this. Write it down. Get a hold of this. The devil can't destroy you. I mean, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are seated in heavenly places far above. There are only two ways you can be destroyed. One. You don't have the knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
That's right.
Whatever condition you're in right now, whatever lack is in your life, you just don't have the knowledge of how to have what you need.
Yes. Come on.
I don't know what I need. Lord. I don't know what it is. I don't know what do I need. How do I get this? So the destruction is left. The second way is rejection. They've rejected me. So either you didn't get the knowledge, or two, you rejected the knowledge.
Yes. Amen. Good word, Pastor. Amen. Good word.
Either you didn't get it, don't have it, or you've rejected it. There are people today that, you have to understand, the gospel, what I'm preaching today, what I'm going to give you today, there are people that will not accept that today. I'm not just here to preach to people who say yes. Yeah. Give to me, yeah. I'm also for the ones that say, forget you, I ain't coming back here. That's heresy. I'm preaching the same thing to both of you.
Come on.
Some will accept it, some will reject it, But that's God's way, you understand, for you to make the free choice as to how you're going to live. I can preach salvation. Either you've never heard about it, so you're not saved, or you heard about it, received it, or you heard about it and rejected it. Those are the only ways you're going to go to hell. And it's the same with every other knowledge. Healing. Either you heard about healing, didn't hear about healing, or rejected the healing message. And you say, I mean, you may say, well, how did I reject it? Maybe you didn't act on that healing message. Thank you, sweet. I appreciate that so much. I am preaching real, real. Thank you. Just pat me on the back. I appreciate that. That is the only method of not having God's blessings in your life. You either didn't get the knowledge, hadn't heard the knowledge, or you rejected it. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. By rejection, maybe it didn't become revelation to you. Maybe you never took the time for it to become revealed knowledge. It was just head knowledge. See, when you read the scriptures, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Two distinct things are listed. There's a word hearing. And that's the word information. I received information. I received information. Somebody preached it and I heard it. But then there's a second hearing. That second hearing is not just that the information that you heard was given to you, but that you also got the revelation of the knowledge. See, there are people all over the world who heard about salvation, but there are others who it was revealed for them to get saved. And they accepted that revelation. They walked the aisles. They confessed Jesus as Lord of the life. They believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. So they received salvation because they heard the word and it became revelation. Not just hearing, but the second hearing. The difference between one hearing and the second hearing is that one hearing is here, one hearing is here. One hearing's in the head. I just got a head knowledge of it. I heard a preacher get up and tell me God would bless me and that I don't have to live poor anymore. I heard a preacher tell me that he would take care of me and heal my body. I heard a preacher shout. I was shouting in a building because I heard it. But it never went from here 16 inches. 18 inches is the difference between what is information and revelation. It becomes real to me. It's mine. I possess it. Faith is that. And that's God has already produced. See, faith is not something you produce. It is something you receive. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can believe and still not be in faith. I always use my favorite story is the one about the, you know, I've read a lot of information, heard a lot of things, done a lot of stuff, and everything they say about a treadmill. Brother, I've been on websites. I go to the gym every day. I told you all that last week. And all that information they told me, to get on the treadmill for so many minutes a day, you know, you put it at so much of a height and elevation, and you do this and you do that, and blah, 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 and I believe every bit of it. But it's only information because I'm not on the treadmill. The difference between hearing, and I acted on what I heard. I didn't just hear the information about the treadmill. Listen, maybe next week I'm getting on the treadmill. Does anybody hear what I'm trying to say to you? Do you believe, I just want to know, do you believe that if I got on a treadmill every day for an hour, I elevated it to say 8 or 10, and I was at say 12 or 15, that if I did that every day for an hour, that somehow that would affect my health in a positive way? Do you believe that? You probably believe it for yourself. I don't see it. Some of y'all probably should get on a treadmill too. I wasn't calling y'all fat. I was just saying you're unhealthy. You're like me. I don't see myself fat. I'm good looking and handsome, man. I'm a sharp, hallelujah man. My wife thinks I'm it. She thinks I'm the bomb, baby. There ain't no other man in this world. I'm the only man she ever kissed. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, Lord, yes.
I heard something one day. I thought it was really true. I'll tell you the truth. Now, don't get a visual, but I heard this. There's this guy, he's like 75 years old, and he looks like a muscle builder, and he has all this, you know, he does all this stuff, and he's just so fit. And he said, if you want to find out how healthy you are, put a Speedo on and get in the mirror. Why are y'all laughing? Y'all, I did it. I did it. I actually did it. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Jesus. That's a sight to behold, I'm telling you right there. My wife thinks I'm sexy. So you can believe and still not be in faith. There are many that believe and they're still not in faith. When faith comes alive, virtue flows from Christ. I'd write that down. Faith draws on the power of God to impact our lives. Everything of God works by faith. These are some personal annotations. The truth about faith is that faith is a supernatural force spawned from the impartation of revelation of God's word into the heart of a man that releases corresponding actions, thereby extracting from God the power of God to perform the impossible. Let me read it to you again. I wrote this. This is my annotation. The truth about faith is that faith is a supernatural force. It is spawned from the impartation of revelation from the word of God into the heart of a man. And thereby, or I said it this way, that releases corresponding actions, thereby extracting from Jesus the power of God to perform the impossible. Barring the mercy of God or a supernatural intervention from God, faith is the only way to receive any manifestation from God. Faith unleashes the unlimited. Faith is the world of no limits. Everything answers to faith, and faith answers only to God. Faith is the most potent force in the universe. It is the key to everything in the kingdom of God. So if there is anything to know and understand, it is the subject of faith. Faith has quality, quantity, and potency. And when God acts, he acts according to our faith. Faith is not a psychological force, nor is it a physiological force. It is a spiritual force. Faith is not an intellectual issue either. It is a supernatural virtue that operates within the spirit of a man and not in his head. Faith is not an issue of the head, but an issue of the spirit. Faith is not a psychological reconditioning of the mind. It is a spiritual force. Faith is our side of a covenant relationship with God. I'm going to read that again. Faith is our side of a covenant relationship with God. God has made a covenant with us regarding his actions in response to our faith. He will act on our behalf once we act on his word. I'm going to read that one again. That's just so good. Faith is our side of a covenant relationship with God. God has made a covenant with us regarding his actions in response to our acts of faith. He will act on our behalf once we act on his word. The engagement of faith is our tap into the divine power of God. There's no force more potent than faith. Now I want to tell you something. Today. I'm going to give you, there's so much I wanted to give you, and just going through my previous notes, I didn't get to all this last week. So good thing we went over it today. Revelation from God's word to our hearts is what faith actually is. We cannot conjure faith up. I cannot create faith. I can only receive it. It is His impartation to me. In other words, my investigation into His Word, finding out what He said about something, can translate into a heart-received revelation. Thus, I receive faith. Can you see that? Revelation, then, is the key to a kingdom life. Light. Now, here's what it says in Ephesians 1:15. Because Ephesians was the prayer that they prayed. Now, I know I'm going to quit in a minute, but you need this. The Ephesians prayer, found in Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 21, says this: Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love of the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. In other words, what He's already done, what exists eternal and eternally forward, that you and I would have the light of revelation on it. I don't create the revelation. His revelation already exists. But I need the light of God to shine on me so I can see how to be a millionaire. Yes. Millionaire is already spelled out for everybody in this room, but you just don't see it yet because my people are destroyed because of a lack. You don't know how. Don't look at me there. Some of y'all are getting all religious. God, I want everybody to be a millionaire. I'm just telling you, everybody can be one. I didn't say God wanted everybody to be one. He said you could be one. I can do. My God shall supply. No one in this room has to be in lack. All you need is the information. You need the revelation. Where is it in the Word? Where is it? What does God say? And not just information, but impartation of revelation. No longer just words on a page. It's boom, life. Yeah. Light came. Yeah. You have to understand. See, listen. Hosea says this. Revelation. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13 says this. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Yes. Our liberty will always demand light.
Yes.
Our liberty is light. Because our captivity is darkness. What is light in the Bible? Revelation. So the fight that we fight is against the principalities of? The devil is of darkness. What fellowship have light with? All right, tell me what darkness can withstand light? Didn't nobody shout right there. Dark cannot resist light. Darkness cannot stand against light. Darkness cannot exist where light exists. If light is revelation, then whatever is dark in you cannot exist when the light of God is shined on the darkness. Can you see it? All you need is light. Doosh! When the light comes on about your money, boom, you don't have to be poor no more. When the light comes on about your baby, boom, you don't have to be barren no more. When the light comes on about your health, boom, you don't have to be sick. Because darkness cannot withstand light. So faith is that revelation of light. When light comes, it don't even take it. That's why the Bible said this. It said it just takes the faith as a grain of mustard seed. Because even my little old flashlight, the little old flashlight on my phone, when I walk out in that dark backyard and I'm about to trip over my duck, I can just flip on the little doop, and it's enough light to dispel the darkness, and I can see my way. I can step over the obstacles and I can see where I'm going. Woo! That's why, I lost my mic. That's why it only takes a grain of mustard seed. Because what he's actually saying is, when revelation and light come, it only takes a little tiny bit of light to dispel the darkness. Darkness has to flee when light comes, when light is revealed, when you see it and you know it, and it's, that's why you can say, it's mine! Somebody in this room shout out, it's mine.
It's mine.
It's mine. It's mine. That job is mine. That promotion is mine. That miracle in my marriage is mine. It's mine. That miracle in my body is mine. My family's changing. Because God said, as for me in my house. As for me in my house. I said, why are you yelling? Because you don't know I'm excited. I told y'all I was loud. It's just my personality. Somebody else may be able to say it more stoically. Thus saith the Lord, when light cometh, thou shalt be free. I can't do that. I can be like, when light comes! I ain't even trying to be spiritual. It's just my personality. Thank you, I will. In light is liberty and dominion. Light dominates the darkness. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things with the word of his power. Prayer and fasting, just an example, provides an outbreak. The reason we fast and pray is because it gives us a provision of an outbreak of light. Have you ever fasted? When you get done fasting, you've heard from God. A light comes, a ding. It is an outbreak of light because he upholds all things by the word of his power. That means when revelation of the word comes, he upholds, everything is upheld by his word. Listen to Matthew 8. The centurion answered Jesus, and the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But he said, speak the word. And the Bible says Jesus said he had greater faith. He had not seen such great faith. What was he saying? You got a revelation that my word alone, all you needed was my word. All you need is my word on it. You don't need me to come and lay hands on your child. You got the revelation that it's the word that's transformating, that's transformational. When you get the word, things are going to change. When you got the word of God on it, everything has to change. It's going to change because God's word. Darkness cannot resist the authority of that light. Light is instant, unquestionable, and eternal. The potency of the word of God is for the dominion on earth. It takes light to walk in revelation. We need revelation of the power that is in us. There's more for me. But get this. The last thing. This is it. There are different levels of revelation. Write that down. Take notes. If you can't write in the Bible you have, get another one. Turn to John 1:1. There are different levels of revelation. Are you ready? There are different levels of revelation. It's going to be light. You ready? It's going to be light. You're going to get light right here. This is most of the church today. This is where we are when I hear preachers preaching. Everybody gets up. They dancing in the aisles. They got great music. Sinners that they've rented out for the Sunday. True anyhow. Dancers on the platform. They got all the trappings. They got all the trimmings. And they're saying the right stuff. We got everybody hyped up. They're all screaming in the pews. But there are four levels of revelation, four that we'll give, four that we'll receive. And they're all right here. You may not see them yet. You don't see four. Do you see four levels of revelation? Yeah. That which was from the beginning, which we heard. There's revelation that's heard. I heard it. He preached it. He said it. I heard it. There's another revelation, that which we saw. I was in a meeting in 1949. I saw somebody get up out of wheelchairs. I seen it. I seen it. There's another one. My eyes looked upon it. I gazed over it. I looked over it. And there's a fourth one. And our hands have handled. Acts 3:6 says this. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But what I handled, what I've handled, I didn't just see it. I didn't just hear it. I haven't just looked over it. I handled it. I handled it. Moses, in Exodus 4:17, God said to him, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Isaiah 11:1 says this, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow of its roots. The rod is the living word, Jesus. So God was telling him, when you take the word in your hand, when you take the word in your hand, not just that you saw it, you heard it, or you looked over it, but when you take the rod, when you take Jesus, the word in your hand, when you handle it, when it becomes connected to you. That's why the woman with the issue of blood reached forth. The Bible tells us she reached forth and touched the bottom of his garment. One scripture says she touched him. The other said she touched the hem of his garment. On the bottom of his garment, the robe that he wore, were represented in little balls. There were little balls on the bottom of that robe. That's why it's so significant that the writer says that she touched the hem of his garment. Because when she reached out, she was touching, oh my goodness, don't you understand? Those balls represented the word. The living word was standing there in front of her. When she reached out, she didn't just reach out by faith in one sense. She touched the living word of God. And that was what, when she could handle it. She didn't just see it. She had heard. I heard there was a Jesus. She saw there were miracles. She had looked over it. But when she touched it. So if we put it all together, thou shalt take the word in your hand and with it do signs. We must have the word turned into the rod in our hand. This is what the spirit of wisdom and revelation does. It translates the word of God into the living rod of the word in our hand. To live in dominion, you must keep looking for the rod in the area of your challenge. I'll read that again. To live in dominion over whatever you're facing, you have to keep looking, get the information, receive that revelation, keep looking for the rod in the area of your challenge in life. Wherever you need success, wherever you need a breakthrough, wherever you want to see God transition you from one place to another, you got to get the rod for it.
Hallelujah.
And revelation comes. And when I'm holding it, when I'm handling, see, that's what I tell you. See, right. I've already got pictures on my computer. I get a visual. It becomes reality to me. I'm already driving. I already got my foot on the pedal. I'm already steering the car. I got the key. I already know what it looks like. I know it's got a sunroof. I already know it's got beautiful dials on it. I want a this and a, I already know. I know. I just know. I'm already driving. I'm sitting in the leather.
Yes. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah.
So you could just continue to have us preach to you and tell you how to see it. You could continue to let us preach to you and tell you, you know, that you could look over it. Just look it over. Or you could handle it. Hebrews says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence of things that I can't see. Now the word that you've handled is the substance of a thing hoped for. The word that's been revealed to you, you sit in this room. See, when you become so saturated with hunger, I don't know if you ever know. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. I get so hungry for God's word, I almost starve. It's almost as if I'm famished for it. I become so engorged in the word of God. I just become so committed. My relationship with God sometimes becomes so deep, I can't even express it in words. If you've never experienced that, you're having a hard time understanding what I'm talking about. You're just shallow. You're ready to just take the seat. You've seen it. You heard it. You've looked it over.
Come on.
There'll be a difference between that and I've handled it. I got it in my hand. I got it in my heart. And when you get it in your hand and you get it in your heart, you're going to change your everything in your life. Man, that's good stuff. That is really good stuff. Faith is the word or rod in your hand. Faith is the word that you've handled. Revelation translates the word of God into a living rod in your hand. Not just hearing, not just seeing, not just looking, but handling. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, every rod in your hand, put supernatural command in your life. Yeah,